The first thing I like to talk about is just lessons and understanding how people learn. I have a saying, be more interested than interesting. It's been the key to marketing success for me. So many people are trying to be interesting. There's a huge energy gap between I am and this is what I want people to think I am, or my product, services, or solution, especially with our children. And it's important to me because my daughter works with me and she's here today. So I want her to especially listen about this energy gap between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. And the more that we look and understand how that makes people feel will help us determine how we can create a community. And in the future, you'll find the key to all marketing success will be to build a community of people that buy from us and sell for us for life. My intention, whether I'm coaching or actually running my own business, is to create a community, an authentic community based off of my essence or the product, services, and solution, the actual energetic essence, the I am of what I do, so that people will buy from me, but more importantly, sell for me for life. The greatest companies in the world have people who buy from them and sell for them for life. I was Samsung after West Publishing. I was the CEO of Samsung's data division at 31 years old in 1999. We had the very first convergence device. Later on, these were called smartphones. It was a Windows device, Windows CE device. You would think it would have been extremely popular at the time. But I was on an airplane, so I'm in that space with my IBM ThinkPad. Some of you may be old enough to remember these devices. RIM 957 pager, that was a miraculous device as well. And this guy opens up his MacBook next to me, and I was like, man, I wish I was an artist or a teacher. Because mine's still like booting up with viruses and, oh God, half of my life was spent waiting. If anyone had 9600 baud modems or computers like this. And this guy just opens up his computer and starts working. And he looks at me and goes, you know, you can, you know, use Word on here and PowerPoint. I was like, really? And he ended up selling me my first Mac. Now, I have since then bought millions of dollars for my company and personally tons of Apple products. But more importantly, I've told this story again and again, and I probably sold even more for Apple, and I've never talked to one Apple salesperson. I've never gone into an Apple store. My kids have, cost me a fortune as well. That's what we want. And so today I want to explain how those communities today are actually formed and then amplified and perpetuated. It's the perpetual content that creates the social silos that allows you to be this algorithm. But in order to do so, we have to take a step back on how people learn. So life is just about lessons. You know, in fact, I simplify my life to being the human experience. Human experience for me is defined by what? The time my heart starts till it stops. I can lose everything. As long as my heart is beating, that's the human experience. It is for our customers, our clients, our employees, all the people in our community. It's the same thing. And they're actually here just to learn. And there's some lessons about learning. One, the lessons will keep on coming until they learn them. Think about them in the context of marketing. Lessons keep on coming until they learn them. Why does it take so much repetition? Why do we have to be so annoying? Which means to me, it's great parenting advice. Great parents, great bosses, and great marketers are annoying. They're repetitive and honest. Kids hate it, being repetitive and honest. But it is how people learn. Two other lessons about learning that are applicable to this community and learning is, one, people will forget every lesson they've ever learned. But here's the trick to marketing. They have the power, every human experience has the power to remind, remember, and recollect every lesson there ever was. And when you start changing the way that you look at this, it's remarkable how your community changes as well. Your messaging changes. You start doing things that people laugh at, scoff at, and make fun of, and all of a sudden, your community exponentially grows. Knowing that these behaviors fit in tune with one of the greatest lessons, which is things happen very slowly in marketing, and then all of a sudden. I'm gonna repeat that. Things happen very slowly and all of a sudden. So what happens to most marketers is that the evidence from the marketing campaign is not there, that it's successful, or it's contrary to where you want it to be. But it's not the evidence of each and every day, it's actually your behaviors that determine it happening all of a sudden. And so being yourself and being repetitive, or the essence or capability of your product, without overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, or cheating, remember this energy gap that people feel. What do people remember? How they feel about your company, product, service, or solution. They don't remember the specs. It's how it makes them feel. There's no logic to it. Logic does not overcome emotion. That's why when you're worried, and trust me, I went to graduate school twice, for law school and business school, so I worried a lot. And I used to tell myself, let it go, let it go, let it go. I'd wake up in the morning with stomach pains and losing my hair at 25. Doesn't work. Logic doesn't work with emotion. So we're here to learn. We're here to be more interested than interesting. And we have to identify, take inventory of the essence, the truth of what we're doing. Being vulnerable with what we're doing, because our objective is to make people feel the way we want them to feel so that they buy from us and sell for us for life, because it makes them feel the way we want them to feel. And so there's actually a pragmatic way to do this, and Shakespeare probably had for me the most influence when it comes to this matter. So Shakespeare, years and years ago, somehow said, the whole world is your stage. When Shakespeare wrote Hamlet, was the whole world really is his stage? Well, in his human experience, absolutely not. But in the infinite, perpetual content, right? Perpetual content exists in the infinite. If anybody has ever read about the Akashic Records, right, I call it my cloud. We're starting to see with AI and storage how there actually could be an Akashic Records that holds the past, present, and future all in data. Doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. It's still perpetual content. Napoleon Hill Institute, why I'm the chairman, is because I want Napoleon Hill's content that changed my life. If you've read Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, less known favorite book of all time, I want my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to read and learn, however it is, that content. But it has to be perpetual to do so. And so the same thing holds true with your content, your marketing, whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, and the great amplifier is social media. So how did Shakespeare know that the whole world was his stage? Which is true, because go anywhere around the world and say Hamlet, who wrote it, everybody will know. Today, the whole world is Shakespeare's stage. And he's quite popular still, because he makes people feel a certain way, even though most people can't even understand what he originally wrote. I can't. I tried. I was an English major. Think about it. Why is it that Hamlet's so popular when what he wrote is not even understandable today? It's about as understandable as my 15-year-old. I just got a text from him, like, what does that even mean? Who are you, Shakespeare? This is amazing. So how do we do what Shakespeare thought was possible or probable, or his perspective? He's participating in a perspective, so shall we. So number one, the most critical thing as marketers today is how we capture the truth. We have so many tools today to capture the truth, to capture the essence, to capture the frequency of what we're doing. Not the specs, not the overselling, back and selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating, because that's going to make people feel a certain way. And the more that perpetuates, the less community you'll have, the less people will buy from you and sell for you. You can see the exponentiality of what's going to happen, because things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden, either way, good or bad. And so we want to pay particular attention in how we're capturing it, which, by the way, is why in person is so important to me. I'm in 200 cities a year. Now, the interesting thing about that is I have always, whatever I'm doing, I'm capturing my essence. I could be at home. I'm going IG Live. I'm everywhere to a certain social silo. I love it, because in the same day, someone can come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you are everywhere. You're in my feed. You're live. You're here. You're there. And then the majority of the people, when I'm walking, they're like, who the hell's that? How could it be? I could be everywhere but nowhere? So can you. But I'm concentrating on a very long, interested game of teaching lessons of my essence, of who I am, on my product, on my service, and on my solution. So I capture that in its essence. Now I have a strategic team to modify it. Because not every platform is the same. Not every community is the same. And I want to be very intentional. This is my community. You are all my community. I'm one of the bigger influencers on LinkedIn and work closely with LinkedIn. In fact, I have my own LinkedIn agent who's here because I have one of the biggest, not followings, but viewership of C-level executives. When we were walking through here, very common, right? Oh, you know, we're walking by the big thing in the front. Oh, well, you know, ours is a more intimate group. It, you know, I'm like, is that the stage? No. We're actually in the, and I'm thinking to myself, perfect. Because it's not the size of the room, it's who's in the room for me. And the same thing holds true for your customers. You don't need 2 billion followers if none of them are going to buy your stuff. And so understanding how we capture it will give our possibility of how we modify it, not just today, but in the future. When there's some new platform or some new thing, we have this perpetual database. I come from Westlaw when I graduated law school as Legal Research Online, blessed to be and to launch my legal career there. But we had a search engine. And so I was smart enough to understand I could capture, and back then I would pay a lot of money to transcribe all of the videos I did because I knew words could be searched. Little did I know AI would waste all my money or invest it. So understanding these modifications and having your own strategic modification team, it's very important. And a lot of people just ad hoc believe the 19-year-old life coaches out there that they're going to be able to edit your stuff and make it popular and, you know, be a victim of the algorithm. You're the algorithm. And I'll show you as we go through Shakespeare's unbelievable vision of the whole world is your stage, why you're the algorithm, and it'll become more and more apparent to everybody as time progresses. But you need to have a capture team, a capture plan, and not just of your normal commercial advertising. I'm talking about capturing your C-level executives, capturing your events, every single trade show. You need to, I am still surprised that people will spend so much money at these events and not have an iPhone set up even, or a digi camera for $300. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can do a feature movie on your phone. We're not capturing enough. And then it's not like storage is expensive. It's so much money being wasted in the wrong places. So capture strategy, modification. Then, of course, what's done today is amplification. Everybody's buying ads, trying to outwit the algorithms. Think that we're going to create some sort of vending machine that's going to be stable for a perpetual amount of time. And so we spend most of our time, money, et cetera, in amplification. What's the greatest amplification of content? Community. That's the one that's guaranteed. The greatest amplifier of content is to spend your money building a community because they're the ones that will buy from you and sell for you with the greatest statistical success. Far more than some viral entertaining video that may last for a week or a month at most. Community lasts forever, right? I still use Drakkar Noir. Why? Because that's what my dad. Think about it. I don't even know that's what I do. It's forever. You have to change your amplification strategy, not just for ad spend, but for community. I spend my ad spend on community. I give away my books everywhere. Why? Because it's a community builder. It's a qualifier that if this is a charitable book that I have, Be Unstoppable, Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, for our charity, Unstoppable. Cynthia Kersey created it, Unstoppable Women, resonated with me. Most of what I do in investing is for women. I have three daughters. I do have baby Oops, a boy, but started all this. I have Meltzer funding because women are literally so underrepresented and so much more capable. And so they need money. And not many people are out there feeding them money. So I give away my books to build community because that's all I want. And that's going to amplify my mission of empowering others to empower others. And then as well, amplify my message, which will create and amplify my mission, which will then amplify the miracle, which will be to empower over 1 billion people, create a collective consciousness of happy people, people that understand how to respond to the reaction of fear, and more people be aware of not just me, but of things that resonate with me. So here's an interesting thing before I get to the final step. In the amplification, that we want to know how and what people are looking for. This is what builds that community of people. Too many people are speaking to them with what they think they want people to think. I have a hard enough thinking about what I actually think, let alone what other people think I think, and this whole perception. And so when we're driving the idea of community, we're looking for people that are going to buy from us, sell for us. It's actually, in my opinion, people that want to help and know people that can help. Those are people that will buy for you and buy from you and sell for you. And so as we go from capture to modify to amplify, we then actually have to be intentional about the perpetuation of this content. This is essential for the future. This is where I think so many companies are missing the mark, is their short term, and the more short term, the shorter the short term is becoming. Because the attention spans, the competitions, it'll never be this less expensive than it is today to advertise. And the impact will never be more. It'll be more competitive and more expensive. So how do we beat that? It's in understanding the social silos in the perpetuation of your content. So how and why are websites going to be dead in the future? Because when you hear about a product, service, or solution, you don't ask for the website anymore. You don't look up the website anymore. You go to whatever platform it is that you use the most, and you look for that person, product, place, or thing on that platform. And it's just still at pre-chasm, by the way. It is going to be ubiquitous with the way that voice, AR, VR, AI, it's going to be ubiquitous. It's not, I mean, I have those real glasses. It's coming, what you're going to see. You think the Meta glasses are cool? Just wait, because things are growing exponentially. I've been in technology since 1992. Although I'm still amazed, I was telling Hervé, I could order some obscure product on Sunday morning of a holiday weekend, and it's at my door at 10 o'clock. My kid's like, what are you freaking out about? I'm like, how does this happen? How does it know my toothbrush head? Like, I would have spent like weeks trying to find the exact, I would end up buying a new kind of electric toothbrush because I can't find the stupid head, but somehow on a holiday weekend, it's at my door at 10 a.m. So what we want to do is to create this social silo and be intentional about the frequency of what's there. Because what's going to happen is someone's going to say to you, oh, who wrote this? Oh, David, I never heard of that guy. Oh, he's great. You know, he's on a mission to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. He knows a lot about marketing. Or I don't like him. Oh, that was one of the points as the ADD hit. What resonates with you is two things, by the way, and your customers. And we see it has been termed in different ways in marketing. But I used to think that I had to write down everything or capture everything and perpetuate it. So in the old days, some of you may be like me, I wrote down everything when I was in undergrad, law school, business school, you know, Bob Proctor, Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer. I went to all these great personal development things and I'd write down everything. All I have is a $1,200 bill with banker's boxes in a storage unit in California. That's what you don't want to have today. What we want to do is figure out what resonates with our community. Now, two things resonate. What does resonate mean? It's an intuitive feeling. That's what resonate is. It's not logic, right? Logic does not overcome feeling. Feeling is what creates community. Community is what buys from you and sells for you. And so we want to capture intuitively what is resonating with our clients, internally or externally, whatever it is. But it's confusing because I used to think intuition had a time to it. What do I mean? Has anybody ever played craps, the dice game in Vegas? Do you know what craps is? Okay, good. So I, what we call bad Dave, and my daughter's here, so we won't go how bad of Dave, but Dave used to gamble. He doesn't anymore. And Dave would play craps, and God would talk to me. And he would say hard eight, which means double fours for those that don't play the game. And I swear God told me hard eight. That was an intuitive, right? It resonated with me. So I put $1,000 on hard eight. I'd roll or somebody else would roll, and it wasn't a hard eight. And then the next roll wasn't a hard eight. Then the next roll, but then four rolls down the line, a hard eight hit. I'm like, oh, God told me it was a hard eight. See, intuition is in the infinite time zone, not the man-made construct of time, linear time. This is an important marketing lesson because a lot of marketers think that what is intuitive, resonates with their clients internally and externally, is like craps. God has told me this is an amazing idea. This is going to work. And we go ahead and create the campaign and then no hard eight. But if they would have stayed consistent, if I would have bet $100 a time or $10 a time and continue to do it, exponentially, statistically, I may or may not have won, but at least hedged statistically and been more successful. So intuition has no time. Feeling trumps logic. But here's what's interesting about marketing and life is I used to think that I only want to capture that is aligned that I agree with strongly. That was going to be the magic. If I agreed, so someone, I was at one of these events and like, my mom told me you're either humble or you're about to be. That dropped me to my knees. It resonated with me so much. It was like, why didn't someone teach me this when I was 25? Right? I was a multimillionaire in my 30s, a complete idiot, because nobody told me you're either humble or you're about to be. And I actually thought I knew what I didn't know or projected it because I was so afraid to tell people that I was a fraud because I didn't know what I didn't know. I was just a really good sales rep. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Please reach out to me, though.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming. It's much nicer than my wife. I was in India. My wife's sitting up front, and because of the time zone, she wanted to make sure she said goodnight to the kids. And literally, it was bad. It was like the technology, whatever, thousands of people. And here's my wife, middle front, gets up and walks out. And everybody saw. And I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, so that was much nicer. So what resonates with us? Not just what we agree with. What I have found to be the most successful campaigns and marketing for my company and the companies that I advise is what I disagree with most. To capture what we strongly feel. And strongly feel doesn't just mean the things like you're either humble or you're about to be and drop to your knees. It means the shit that pisses us off. Right? I want to hear, I think, to me, the solution in the United States for, and I'll repeat, United States, is that we're not appreciating the resonance. We're not appreciating the intuition. We're not appreciating the differences. We're not equal. This is a country of equal opportunity for everybody. I spend the majority of my time to give equal opportunity to women, especially women of color, because it's so ridiculous, the numbers of how much non-equal opportunity there is. But I appreciate the differences between people. When you say something that is like Tabasco in a wound, I want to learn more. Tell me more about that. Why does that make you feel that way? I don't ask them logic or fact because we all know about facts, right? They can be manipulated better than ever today. I want to know why you feel so strongly about that. Explain to me why I feel strongly because, and I don't care about the facts. Why? Because logic doesn't overcome feelings. Feelings is why people build a community, and the community is full of people that feel strongly each way. And so if you're marketing, you want people to feel strongly about your product, service, or solution. That will help you. Sometimes people that hate your product, service, solution will help you more than the people that love it or like it. I'll give you an example. My first book, which I'm happy to send to all of you as well, 2013, Connected to Goodness. Now, the titles of my book went from very kind to, just to warn you, my new book at Super Bowl is very much in the same realm of frequency, but I learned how to market myself, so it's called Don't Do Business with Dicks. So I've gone Connected to Goodness to Don't Do Business with Dicks. I guarantee you Don't Do Business with Dicks is gonna sell at the airport. Connected Goodness did not. Little marketing, because it resonates. So I write this book, and Goodreads was very new on Amazon, and the lead reviewer, right, I'm super excited, and basically says Dave Meltzer's an idiot. He thinks you can talk to water and change the molecular structure of water, even though I gave and cited the research that I did on changing the molecular structure of water, and she called me an idiot and said, waste of time. I cried. I'm not joking. I cried to my wife. This was my first book. That usually those are not commercial. Those are your heart and soul. And this is really my heart and soul book. And I cried to my wife. It's like, it's okay. I'm like, no one's ever going to read my book now. But you know what happened? Is that all the people that agreed with her that absolutely would not have liked my book if they read it, didn't buy it. But the cool thing was, all the people that agreed with me, that never would have bought the book, all of a sudden, that lady made them feel a certain way, and they've been buying from me and selling for me for life. So don't be afraid of the strong feeling against your product, service, solution. Understand how to utilize feeling and intuition in order to facilitate a community of appreciation, of people that appreciate the differences. Understand how these social silos work. Because in the end, and I'm going to switch the questions, if you create the social silo based off of a frequency, your neighborhood, you base it off of this essence, what's going to occur is someone's going to say, have you ever heard of Dave Meltzer? No. Good, you're in the 7.6 billion other people on Earth, unlike the 4 million people that love him and the 4 million people that hate him, right? 10% of the people are going to love you automatically because of the way you make them feel. 10% is going to hate you no matter what. You'd be a genius. But more importantly, as we have these people in our social silo, I've never heard of them, and then they're going to pick up their phone and look on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, wherever your product, service, or solution is, and they're going to go down a rabbit hole. And if they love you or hate you, they're going to keep going down that rabbit hole. And that's where the real communities are made and the real money is made. Why? So as much as you spend on ad spend, I don't have to. Because I know one thing. If they go down the David Meltzer rabbit hole, every platform makes their money by feeding you more of that feed. So they keep feeding you Dave Meltzer. Oh, they spent a whole bunch of time. And a whole bunch of time today could be like more than 8 seconds. Sometimes on some of the platforms, 3 seconds. If you have people who spend more than 3 seconds on your product, service, or solution, it'll keep feeding it. He probably knows better than me which platforms have what. But I think 8 seconds is the most. Talk about getting around your huge ad spend. Wouldn't you rather build a community that's out there saying, hey, have you seen this product? Have you done and used this or read this or know this person? Have them go down the social silo and you've been strategic on capturing your essence, having a team that modifies it and stays aware of all the different platforms and all these different rules of those platforms, and then amplify it through community, not ad spend. I'm gonna repeat, and those communities are internally and externally. You know how many people miss the mark because they don't even have their 7,000 employees amplifying their message? Like it blows my mind. I coach some Fortune 10 companies, and I was like, well, how many of your employees are posting that? Like the CEO now has a podcast, right? You want to be the show, not the commercials. Everybody knows how this whole thing works. And I'm like, well, how many subscribers? Because he has like 2,000 subscribers. You have 7,000 employees. That doesn't even, you're paying these freaking people. They can pretend to like you. Think about it. But you want them to go down this rabbit hole, and it's to become more and more valuable, this community. And it's not just social, right? It's all starts in person. Experiential. The way we make experiences are most valuable. The way we make you feel are contributed from their experiences, create business development. Business development is made by post-production content. Post-production content can be the capturing of what we're doing here in person or anywhere else at the Rangers game. Or it can be email. Right, you're amplifying as well. I think, you know, if you're not building your email list, you're making a big mistake. And there's huge advancements. I'm right now, because of technology, I'm getting about 20,000 engaged email addresses every week at a fraction of the cost of anything else. Those are engaged. So my newsletter, which now contains all of my captured content, comes out every single week, is going to 20,000 more engaged people. That's how good AI is. And, you know, we have the experts coming in to talk about that. So it's in person, email, and then phone, voice and text. And we see where AI is taking that as well. And then, of course, social, which will always change. But if you're the algorithm, then you're going to own the essence, you're going to own the frequency, you're going to be based off of building a community of people that are buying from you and selling for you for life. The good news is you're protected on product, services, and solutions, and the change of product, services, and solutions, how quickly they're changing. I remember one of the first mentors I have was Dr. Jacobs at Qualcomm, because I was in the phone industry in San Diego, and Dr. Jacobs walked me through this room of all this unused IP, like cool gadgets from Korea and everywhere else. And he's like, Dave, do you know what business I'm in? I'm like, yeah, you're in the chip business, bro. You're, you know, code division. You're the man. And he's like, no, I own the customer. His whole objective, I don't know how brilliant he was I'm going to use the dual mode chip to own the customer. And he created things like Brew and all the other things that he did to build a community around Qualcomm and the chip itself. But his perspective was always, I'm going to build a community around Qualcomm. I'm going to own the customer through the technology, the essence of what I do. Because he knew technology would change. And it would keep changing faster. Thank you so much. I went over.